Welcome to the broadcast. This is Brother Eric John Phelps, 24/7 World Radio Podcast, with my Sunday sermon and update. It will be somewhat long today. I trust that it will be interesting and edifying to you as we review some principles, some principles of biblical resistance to political tyranny, as we are experiencing here today in the Pope's Holy Roman 14th Amendment, corporate fascist, socialist, communist, American Empire. So the particular passage that I'm going to begin with is in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 22 through 33. We read in the Gospel of John, which is a gospel for Gentiles primarily, as Matthew is a gospel for Jews primarily. And we read in verse 22 and following, "And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews," these Jewish leaders, "round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Notice two distinct persons, yet one in essence, the Godhead being the three distinct persons of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, yet being one God. The Mishnah, the Shema of Deuteronomy 6:4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Lord our Elohim," plurality of two or more, "is one Lord, one Jehovah." So, God is one and yet consists of three distinct persons, and Christ is illustrating this at least with two persons, one being himself and the other being his Father that he prayed to, because the Father is not the Son and the Son is not the Father, yet they are one in essence. So he says, "I and my Father are one." Verse 31, "Then the Jews," these Jewish leaders, "took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed unto you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Which, by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ did not deny. And so he attributes deity to himself. He attributes the fact that he's equal to his Father. Whatever his Father does, he can do. The Son does in like manner. And so he's saying these things in Solomon's porch at the Feast of the Dedication, which is known to us today as Hanukkah. It's a winter feast of Hanukkah, meaning that the Lord validated and approved this feast of Hanukkah, known as the Festival of Lights, that was a result of the rededication of the Second Temple that was built in the days of the prophet Zechariah and Haggai. They built the Second Temple on order of King Cyrus after the 70-year captivity. And so this Second Temple was of God. And in the Second Temple, they have Solomon's porch. And the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon, because he said, "Behold, the Queen of the South came up to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. I'm greater than Solomon." Of course he is. He is the incarnate God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son made manifest in the flesh. Of course he's greater than Solomon. He's the one, the second person of the Godhead, that scorched Mount Sinai in Arabia so that those rocks today are still blackened by the tremendous heat when the Lord, when the pre-incarnate Son of God came down and met with Moses. That's the Son. That wasn't the Father. It was the Son. So he's greater than Solomon. He's wiser than Solomon. He's the greatest. And he says these things in the second temple on Solomon's porch. Because after all, the Lord Jesus Christ is the seed of David through Nathan, not through Solomon, but through Nathan, to sit on the throne of David, which Solomon sat on. So he now is speaking from Solomon's porch, is really, in fact, the king of Israel. And that's why those Jewish leaders said, tell us plainly whether thou art the Christ or not, because the Christ has to be the king of Israel. He said, I told you, but you're not of my sheep. You don't hear my voice. But the point being made here is that the Lord Jesus Christ validated the resistance of the Maccabees towards the Grecian tyranny and tyrant Antiochus IV Epiphanes. Epiphanes means he says he's God. By the way, Antiochus IV is a type of the Antichrist. He's called the little horn in Daniel, along with the Antichrist yet to come is called the little horn. There's two little horns in Daniel. And this Antiochus Epiphanes IV is the immediate little horn in the days of the Maccabees, and this guy desecrated the second temple, and for 3 years it lay desecrated. There were no evening and morning oblations, as the prophet Daniel says, for 2300 evening and morning, namely oblations. For 3 years, there would be no sacrifices in that second temple. Further, this Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed a sow on the altar there, desecrated the place. And this began the Maccabean revolt that lasted some 3 years or so, according to Josephus in his Antiquities of the Jews. He was a first century historian during the time when the temple would be destroyed by the Romans. It's a classic historical work that you need to have for your library. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is validating the resistance of the Maccabees towards the Grecian pagan awful tyranny being imposed on the Jewish people in their land. The Lord Jesus Christ validates it. There's a principle here, and the principle goes to really every nation, because every people of every nation has the right to be self-governing. And they have a right to resist political tyranny with the sword of just defense. How do we know that? We go to the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 22, when the Lord Jesus Christ is about ready to be arrested and offered up, we read what he says to Peter in verses 34 to 36. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny me that thou knowest me. The rooster is not gonna crow until you deny me three times, Peter. You think you're not forsake me? You will. Verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And this is when he sends them out two by two, the 70 and the 12 disciples going out two by two for the announcement of the Davidic kingdom's about to be established and calling the people to repentance. Did you lack anything then, back in Luke chapter 10? And they said, nothing. We didn't lack anything. Now verse 36, then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, the disciples said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. That's sufficient. He wasn't rebuking them for saying, here are two swords, because you're going to bring those swords in Gethsemane, and Peter's going to pull his sword and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest, because he's going to try to cut his head off, and the guy's going to duck, and he's going to have his ear lopped off by Peter. If they weren't to have any swords, the Lord Jesus Christ would have told Peter and whoever else brought the sword, don't bring your sword. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. He didn't bring those swords. When he said, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword, he said that if you live by the sword in this moment, that I'm to be arrested by these Romans, if you live by the sword now, you're going to die by it. But in no way does he depreciate gun ownership and weapon ownership. I was just watching a special on a documentary last night. It says, We Will Dance Again, and it's about the savages, Muslim Hamas, cowardly murdering those some 1,200 Jewish people not far from Gaza. Yes, it was a wicked festival, but so what? They didn't have the right to murder them and shoot them in cold blood because they were disarmed. It takes a coward to shoot somebody in cold blood. All those Muslim cowards serving their pagan god, Allah, concocted by the papacy to unite the Arabs against God with that evil, wicked book called the Quran, which is neither holy. And so in their fanaticism and their chanting and raging and carrying on as the servants of the devil that they are, to mass murder these Jewish people there in Israel, in their land, by these guys armed with M16, with AR-15s, they're going to shoot all those women and men who are completely disarmed. What a disgrace. You Muslims are a disgrace. A disgrace. You disgrace your religion if it ever had any virtue. And now what I see, the only way to solve that problem, you got to sweep all of Gaza. You got to kill every living thing there. The men, the women, the children. If they do not leave Gaza, that's what they should get. So you tell Egypt and Lebanon and you tell Jordan, you better take these savage Muslims. There's no such thing as a Palestinian. You're going to take these savage Muslims out of our land right now. And if you don't do it, then the blood is on your hands and we're going to kill them all. All of Gaza needs to be purged. And then after that, we're going to take a picture of Ariel Sharon, who gave Gaza to these savages, and we're going to burn him in effigy because he committed high treason. Yeah, the hero of the Yom Kippur War commits high treason in giving Gaza to the Muslims on orders of the Pope, because that's who he served, in anticipation of this day so that they can have a huge war there. And by the way, I'm not just blaming these savage Hamas Muslims with their savage leader who's now dead, who was a billionaire. Because you see, Netanyahu and the leader of Hamas worked together. They broke down 60 different openings in the fence there, but separating Gaza from Israel. Don't you think the Mossad and military intelligence knew all about that? And furthermore, they're going to let these savages mass murder those people for about 7 to 8 hours, and nobody comes to their rescue. And as I saw in the special last night, now somebody's suing the Israeli intelligence services for not coming to their aid. Absolutely. Because you see, they're working for the Pope to deliberately cause this, to justify a war in that theater that will ultimately result in the bringing down of those abominations, those Muslim edifices on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, so they can have their third temple as prophesied by Scripture in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 12, Revelation chapter 11, Matthew 24, by Christ himself. There's going to be a third Hebrew temple. How are you going to build that when those Muslim edifices are there, those abominations are there? You got to have a war. And so, all of this is orchestrated. The government of Israel is killing its own people to justify a papal designed to have the third temple built for the final Pope of Rome to be slain with a sword, to rise from the dead, to be the beast man of Revelation 13, the Antichrist of 1 John 2 and 1 John chapter 2 and 1 John 4. That's what's happening. Because the Antichrist is a man, and he's a Roman. Revelation 17 says he's a Roman Caesar. Daniel 9 says he's a Roman. The people of the princes shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Who are they? Romans. So, Christ says, now in my absence, you're going to need a sword. And we can thank God for some Baptist Puritans, Baptist Calvinists, like James Madison, who wrote the Second Amendment. There's no such thing as a Roman Catholic or a Jew or a Muslim writing something like the Second Amendment to arm the people that they're governing for their benefit. There's no such thing. That only happens around white men who believe the Bible and who are Calvinistic, believing that it is virtuous to resist political tyranny with a sword of just defense, which is what John Knox called it. You read his History of the Reformation in Scotland, where he defends the right to the use of the people of the sword of just defense. Is it any wonder? The Israeli people, they're unarmed. They're disarmed. They don't have their own guns walking around the streets with guns. Got to be disarmed, boy, so we can kill you when we want to. Just like they're trying to pull here. We want to disarm all you white people in America because we know that you're going to use those guns and ammunition against us. So we got to disarm you first before we finally pull the plug. All these things are important. Jesus Christ said, you need a sword. You women, you men, if you don't own a gun, you better go buy one. You better go get one now while the getting's good, because these sinners are going to try to make it so you can't have one, that you can't buy one. And I trust that it's in your heart to resist political tyranny with the sword, with a gun or whatever, of just defense. You have a right to defend yourself. Get it in your heart. I wrote that particular point in my confession of faith for my church, that the right to own guns is not just merely a Second Amendment right, it's a First Amendment right. It's a right given to us by God for self-preservation. And I wrote it into the church constitution. So if you try to take our guns, this is now a violation of the First Amendment, not just only Second Amendment. So I want you to know that you're not to turn the other cheek. The Jesus Christ never taught his church to turn the other cheek through the writings of the Apostle Paul, through the prison, through the apostolic writings of the Apostle Paul, all 14 epistles. Nor did he teach it with the general epistles, with 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, book of James, book of Jude. None of the general epistles have anything about turning the other cheek. The devil loves the verse, turn the other cheek. That's how he gets so much mileage and progress in his mystery of iniquity. Just stand by and let evil conquer and let good men do nothing. We're to resist evil. We're to resist the devil. He flees from us when we do, when we resist him with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And we also resist his minions with the sword of just defense, with the gun too. So you better be armed, and you better have plenty of rounds, and you better have a series of different kinds of weapons to use, because trouble's coming at our gate, too. And it's already come to our gates. So, let it be known that you have the right to defend yourself, that you're never taught to love your enemies. Christian man, Christian woman, show me. Show me anywhere in Romans where to love our enemies. Show me anywhere in Hebrews where to love our enemies, the last epistle of the Apostle Paul. Show me anywhere in the prison epistles, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon. Show me any of the prison epistles where we're told to love our enemies. Show me. There isn't any, because we're not to. Shall we love those who hate the Lord? Huh? We give them the gospel. We pray that the Lord, that they may be one of the Lord's elect, that they'll be saved. And hence, we warn every man, teaching every man, we might present every man perfect in Christ. But it does say we love every man. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, thereabouts. So, now you preachers, now you Christian men, know you're not to love your enemies. You're to be armed. You're to have the sword of just defense. You have the right to self-preservation. You have the right to preserve everything God's ever blessed you with, including your wife, your children, your lands, everything he ever blessed you with. And you can use the sword of just defense. And when the cops want to come around and take your swords, they're criminals too. When the police want to come and take your weapons, they're criminals too. They've stepped over the line. They're now criminals. And now you have to resist them too. Never forget, my brother said to my younger brother, who was a cop, He said, well, Chris, he says, when you get the order to round up the guns, are you going to do it? And Chris said to my brother Craig, no. He said, you better not, because I'm going to kill you if you do. I would. I'd kill my brother if he was a cop coming to take my guns. Absolutely. Because he wants me to die. Any government that wants to take your guns from you wants to kill you. You get some of the information for Jews for Preservation of Firearms Ownership. It's probably the best gun ownership group in the country. 1,000 times better than NRA. So, Jesus Christ said, we have a right to our personal defense, and we should bear the sword for just defense. As John Knox championed it back in the 1500s, this is nothing new. So, you get out in the history how the 30 Years' War began. It was the Roman Catholics persecuting the Protestants in Czechoslovakia, in Prague. And so one of the Protestants went up to talk to this Catholic tyrant. They got in a fight, and he threw him out the second floor window and killed him. And that's the beginning of the Second 30 Years' War, or the 30 Years' War from 1618 to 1648, where approximately one-third of the German population perished at the hands of the papacy and papal armies of France and other nations. That's right. They did it once, they're going to do it again. They keep doing it. It's a ceaseless attack to destroy historic white men, white Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Protestant, and Baptist men that are Calvinistic, to destroy us off the face of the earth pursuant to the Jesuit oath. That's what they want to do. That's what they like doing. They love killing the accursed heretics. And I tell you this, that J.D. Vance, that sinner who's the vice presidential running mate, that other sinner, Donald Trump, who faked his own assassination, he was never shot in the ear. What a lie. That J.D. Vance, he converts to Roman Catholicism. He's a brilliant guy. Converts to Roman Catholicism after reading the wicked and sinful Thomas Aquinas' Summa Theologica that will serve as a basis for the Inquisition to kill heretics. Hand them over to the secular arm to be burned. That's Thomas Aquinas' Summa Theologica. That's their doctrine. That's what these sinners do. That's why the leading gun grabbers are Roman Catholics and Jews and socialist communist Jews serving the Pope of Rome. Don't you blame the Jews exclusively for this. They're just doing their massa's business, and their massa is the Papa in Rome. That's why Henry Kissinger loved the Pope of Rome. That's why Chucky Schumer is at every Al Smith dinner, because that Masonic Jew is busy serving the Pope, and his archbishop is his leading archbishop of the political capital of the world. That's why these Jews and Michael Bloomberg in New York, I saw Schumer and Bloomberg at the Al Smith dinner there while Trump was speaking, while Trump said he was going to give $1 billion to the Catholic Church for their schools, and he did it. He's a papist. Then they sing Ave Maria at his speaking at Butler. What's wrong with you white men? Are you crazy? Do you think he's going to do anything good for you, white man that's a Protestant and a Baptist and a Bible believer and a gun owner? You think he is? We don't have a choice for an election. There's no elections anyway. It's all selection. They select them because they control both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. The leaders of both. They're all Masonic. They're all secret society members. Joe Biden's sworn in to the presidency on a Roman Catholic Bible, and he's sworn in. And who's there speaking for him? O'Donovan? You got O'Donovan, the former president, the Jesuit president of Georgetown, Leo J. O'Donovan. He's swearing him in. Biden's a Jesuit, and so is Trump. Michael Savage was right. We talked about Trump surrounded by these Jesuit advisors. They're both run by them. It's a conspiracy, and you white men better start attacking back. When anybody calls you a conspiracy theorist, you better start telling them, are you a coincidence theorist? You think things happen by coincidence, huh? You think you can see through your eyeball by a coincidence of evolution? Are you out of your minds? It's time some white men, some white preachers start really preaching hard against this white feministic manhood here, turning the other cheek, and, oh, yeah, maybe we should give up our guns and we can't get any ammo, and, yeah, we'll just do anything the government tells us to do. That's the recipe for your extinction. And I tell you this, there aren't any women that respect you either. A woman wants to be protected. A woman wants to know she's in the presence of a real man that's going to fight to the death over principles. That's what she wants, but she doesn't have that. So now we got all these women thinking they're men. So they're bobbing off their hair, no makeup on, got the pants on. They're going to do, they're going to be a man. I'm going to act like a man because there aren't any men to be the men. To take charge, and if they revolt, to put them in their place. So you got a word from the Lord, wife? Woman? Everything's inverted for the destruction of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Baptist manhood of this country. And they're using the blacks every way and every day, killing 10 white people a day and raping 100 white women every day. On the average, that's what's happening in this country. And you can't report any black on white crime, can you? Well, because that's racism and prejudice. How is quoting a fact racist and prejudice? How is quoting the fact that the major form of birth control in this country is abortion? It's not anything else. But if you're anti-abortion, why, you're sexist. You wicked sinners. Don't you brand me with those tattles. The Lord rebuke all of you, every last one of you. It's going to take men to stand in the gap to reverse this here in America and any other country for that matter. Takes a manhood to do it. Women can't do it. Blacks cannot resist the white power structure run by the Pope. That's why black men, they put you in power everywhere. That's why I drive down the street, I see a black ad everywhere. In a white area. Blacks in the blank ad, black ads in the bank, black ads everywhere. Black. Black NFL, black on white. Got black men with white women everywhere now. On the commercials with the suit, on the football thing, is pro-black, anti-white for the destruction of the whites in this country. And we're the last bastion of liberty in the world. When we go, everything's gone. And by the way, black man, when we go down, you're going down because the Russians hate your guts, the Chinese hate your guts, and the Muslims hate your guts. And if they should invade here, which I've warned out for over 25 years, they're going to show you how much they hate you. And you will pray for the day when you lived around white men that were decent to you and were Bible-believing people. You will pray for that day. But it's not coming back because you're finished. The Russians in New York hate black people. But we can't report that, can we? Because that would be a racist and sexist. You better wake up. You black men better wake up and you better start seeking God. You better start reading your King James Bible. And you better start be thanking God that you live around some white people that aren't killing you like the Russians will. That's right. You better start helping us. You better start staying away from our women. Our women are white and they're ours. They belong to us. How are we going to preserve our race? Black men and white women don't preserve the white race. And mulattoes everywhere. That's supposed to be normal. That's not normal. It's all sin. And I'm sorry for those poor souls that are mulattoes. That was not their choice, but they're black. And they regard themselves as black. And the black race cannot stand against the post-white power structure that is destroying the white people of this country. And specifically now, the whites of the South. God created the races to keep mankind separate. All race mixing and miscegenation is sin. That's why the 64 Civil Rights Act was sin. If they were so concerned about the blacks of this country, they would have said, well, you know what? Why don't we give them New Jersey? We'll give them New Jersey. New Jersey's black anyway. They can have everything. The railroads, the supermarkets, the ports, the airports. You can have it all. Just you have your own country now, and now you don't have a reason to hate white men in general because you can go to New Jersey, and it's a new white nation. But oh, they don't want to do that. Oh, no, we got to keep the agitation going to justify the rise of the new right and Trump and all those other sinners. And Biden is the best friend that Trump ever had. I bet they're drinking buddies. Thank you, Joe, for what you did. That really helped me out. I got a whole more bunch of people following me now for the policies that you've implemented here. Hey, thanks, Joe, for your Jesuits when they orchestrated all the storm here. Hurricane Helene, when it killed hundreds, probably thousands of people, mostly white, out of the southeastern United States, which is the Bible Belt. Why do you think they sent that hurricane in the Bible Belt? To kill these white people. And why do you think God permitted it? Because the white people of the South have departed from the King James Bible. They've departed from separation from sin. You got these Southern Baptists everywhere in sin, not departing from the papacy and denouncing the papacy. You got a million Freemasons in the Southern Baptist Convention. What's the difference? It's just another Catholic church called Southern Baptist. And now even many independent Baptists, the same thing, because you can't hardly find an independent Baptist preacher is going to get all over the Jesuits and the Freemasons and tell the people this is who's destroying our country with their Tesla technology and HAARP and every other kind of thing they have, with their big controlling machines down in the Arctic, in the north in the Arctic Circle, aiding, controlling the weather, influencing the weather, and they keep doing it. Where are the preachers denouncing the control of the weather that's derived from Tesla technology? I was over at the Federal District Court in Harrisburg a couple weeks ago. And while I was waiting for them to process my documents, I went next door to a room just adjacent to the clerk of court right across the hall. It's a beautiful new building. And I was looking through their books. And I came across this one. The SS Brotherhood of the Bell, The Nazis' Incredible Secret Technology by Joseph P. Farrell, F-A-R-R-E-L-L. And this guy is a master of this technology. He writes several different books. And part of their technology has to do with weather manipulation. Now, the Jesuits with their Council of Trent, the Counter-Reformation Council of Trent, out to destroy historic white Anglo-Saxon Protestant nations, said, you know what? This would be a wonderful weapon for us. If we can weaponize weather control, why, we can kill certain populations and we can overlook other populations. I haven't seen them send a great big hurricane into Chicago with all those Roman Catholics there, or all those Roman Catholics in Philadelphia, huh? All those Roman Catholics in New York City, huh? Huh? No, they're going to send it to historic Protestant areas like South Carolina, which is, by the way, 50% black, but most of those blacks are Baptists. You see, the Jesuits hate the black Baptists as much as they hate us. And the blacks just don't get it. They should say, you know what? The papacy is united against us to get us to kill each other, to hate each other, and we are going to unite together and denounce the papacy in our black churches, and you do in your white churches, and we'll help each other. And at the end of this, we'll have our own nation. You can have your nation as it should be. And that's exactly right. Oh, no. They hate the black Baptists. Remember, anybody that's, any black man that's not a Baptist has had some white man messing with his religion. They're primarily Baptists, although they're not Calvinists. They're Baptists. And so the Jesuits have a death wish for them. Why do you think they run drugs in all their cities? Huh? Why do you think they had little Ricky Ross running all those drugs everywhere for the Pope, for the CIA? Huh? We're going to kill these blacks. And we're going to blame all white men in general so they can hate all white men in general so they can kill us and so these savage little black wenches can kill or nearly kill a little white girl that's in a white woman that's in a college, going to walk up and knife her. That's right. Or this other black savage, I think in the street of New York, walked up with a knife, cut the throat of a white guy with his fiance right there. You can watch it on the video. Why? Because these savages have been taught to hate us white people because we're the source of all their problem, and because they can't handle it themselves, that one out of three black men are on probation, parole, or in prison of their own doing, why, they got to take out their anger on us. That's why the military government imposed on March 9th, 1933 here by Franklin Damnable Roosevelt, 32nd degree Scottish Rite Freemason, overseen by Jesuit Edmund Walsh of Georgetown. When they implemented their Emergency War Powers Military Government with Proclamation 2039, Emergency Banking Relief Act that was never really passed, and Proclamation 2040, we've been under military government, people, for over 91 years. When's the last preacher that told you you've been under military government, Emergency War Powers Government, and we haven't had a civilian government for 91 years? When you go and send your sons out to fight these foreign battles, they're nothing but crusades for the Pope fighting for the Emergency War Powers Military Government. And maybe God has had about enough. And so you want to send out, you want to kill these populations and go into their countries and invade them as a crusader for the Pope, like Iraq and Afghanistan? You're just crusaders for the Pope. When I found out I was a crusader for the Pope when I was in the Air Force from 72 to 77, when I found out how they used me garrisoned in Germany and other things, I took that uniform and I threw it away. I didn't want to be reminded what an idiot I had been, thinking I'm fighting for my country. You're not fighting for your country, military man. You're fighting for the military government, run by Roman Catholics, primarily. Is not the Secretary of Defense a black Roman Catholic? Huh? They hate us. They got to destroy us. That's why the world hates us, calls us the ugly American, because we have been doing the policies of the military government in Washington, overseen by the Archbishop of Washington and New York, and the Jesuits of Fordham, and the Jesuits of Georgetown, and all you SEALs and you Delta Force guys going and invading other countries. You're doing it as crusaders. You're the janissaries of the Pope. That's all you are. You're not patriots. You're suckers. And furthermore, you're creating worldwide hatred against us so that we don't have hardly any foreign allies anymore. Except maybe Israel. We're going to lose in Japan. We're losing all those other countries. Why? Because of the policies of this military government. Well, yes, building the military government in Israel, but they couldn't care less about the Jews that live there. Just remember that, you Jew baiter. This government finances the government of Israel that's working for the Pope, and it couldn't care less about those Jewish people, because if it did, they would have warned them when in October 7th of the attack that was going to be impaired, going to happen then. They would have warned them, but they didn't warn them. They wanted to kill all those Israeli people there to justify a war. You know, don't you think the CIA knew all about it? Don't you think they can see all this with satellites? Don't you think they saw it all, and they knew it was coming. They caused it. Just like they caused it here with the weather control. They saw that hurricane coming. They saw it being made, and they were making it, and they were guiding it, because we got guided over these white Anglo-Saxon Protestant areas of Tennessee, of South Carolina, of North Carolina, Georgia, Florida. We got to start destroying these white people, these white southern people, because they have kept this country without being destroyed because of the Bible Belt, because of the preaching of the Bible. And there's many a black preacher down there. I remember I used to listen to one black preacher. His name was S.M. Lockridge. You find him sometime. He was a Southern Baptist black preacher. S.M. Lockridge, great preacher. And another Baptist preacher out of Maryland, Preacher Joe Brown. Listen to him. Jesuits want to kill you black men, and they destroy your preachers, and they want to get you off in all sorts of sin. Why do you think they got drugs on every street corner? It comes from the CIA and the Pope's mafia. They work together, the mafia and the CIA. And you know what they are at the top? They're all a bunch of Roman Catholics. And they're going to do to you what they did to those people in Israel. They're going to do to you what they did to the people in Vietnam. Kill, what, 5 million Vietnamese? For what? For nothing. The place is communist. And then when the communists, Jesuit communists, take over, they're going to kill 500,000 more Vietnamese because they were friends of the Americans. A total purge of any possibility of resistance to political tyranny and resistance to unification with Red China, because that's one of the major reasons for that war in Vietnam, to get rid of the Vietnamese manhood that didn't want to unite with China, and it's going to unite with it. I know I'm all over the place. But I want you to get this picture. It's a papal conspiracy. Chinnicky tells us that Rome is in constant conspiracy against the nations of the world. Yeah, Rome's conspiracy in the assassination, Rome's hand in the assassination of Abraham Lincoln by Thomas Harris, a brevet general who was on the military commission. You have another great work, The Engineer Corps of Hell by General Sherman. Talk about the Jesuits or zappers and miners and undermining us. I mean, it's all out there. We have to read. And you have to find a preacher that's going to tell you. And that's not going to be easy. Because these preachers are afraid to talk about the Hispanic on crime everywhere in these major cities. They are wrecking Lebanon over here where I'm not far from, because they're bringing them in here illegally. And they bring all these savage blacks out of Haiti, most of them Roman Catholic, into a white little town here in Pennsylvania on the western border to destroy it. And white men are not doing anything about it. They're going to say again, well, you got to be racist. No, I want them in Haiti. They've destroyed Haiti. Let them reap what they sow, that wrecked country. Why do you think the the Dominicans there in Dominican Republic. Why don't you think they want the Haitians in their country? Why do you think they have a great big wall separating them? They don't want those savages in their country. And I don't want them here either. I have a right to be white. I have a right to have a white culture. I have a right to speak a white language called English and not Ebonic. I have a right to have a white technology. And I have a right to let the Jews live among us as long as they're not violating the law and betraying us and socializing in communists. Any socialist communist Jew is out. Socialist communism is out. It's a criminal religious affair. That's what it is, because the Jesuits are the masters of communism. Get my book, Vatican Assassins. I show you they mastered the Paraguayan reductions for 150 years. The Jesuits are the masters of communism, not the Jews. They just took that Marx, they put him up front, made him say, well, he's the author of Das Kapital and Communist Manifesto. He didn't write that. So, I've given you a couple passages of scripture here. And I want you to stand on the fact that you have the right to defend yourself with deadly force against those who are trying to kill you. Doesn't matter what the local DA wants to do or the prosecutor. He's going to prosecute you for defending yourself. Hey, you just have to take your lumps. Take my private citizenship class and learn how to stop personal jurisdiction of this military jurisdiction proceeding according to the course of a federal admiralty jurisprudence to prosecute you. Hey, are you an enemy belligerent? And that's another problem. We ought to deal with that right now. The reason why this is happening is because when the Jesuits used their Democratic Party, their Socialist Communist New Deal Democratic Party, to impose military government on March 9th, 1933, that converted we the people into enemy belligerents. You, sir, if you're a U.S. citizen, quote-unquote, which is a new term since the 30s, if you, sir, are a U.S. citizen, you're an enemy of the military government, and they have every right to make war on you pursuant to the Hague Convention and the laws of land warfare. So therefore, that's what they're doing. Enemy belligerent. Outlaw. Everything they do economically to ruin your money, to ruin, take your labor from you, for whatever, how you worked all these years and everything you acquired, they're going to take it from you. And you're going to be happy. Isn't that right, Klaus Schwab? Klaus Schwab is affiliated with the Jesuits at Boston College and other Jesuit institutions. Remember, Klausy Baby is a Roman Catholic Jesuit. And all the terrible things he does is done at the behest of the papacy. And the leading Jews with this pharmaceutical industry, they're working for Fauci. Fauci's a Jesuit. Along with his wife, a little Jesuitess. They're destroying us with their medical inquisition. They're destroying us with their legal inquisition. You're one lawsuit away from losing everything, boy. Thanks to the Jesuit Order's legal inquisition. And all these attorneys are nothing more than JAGs. They are attorneys, they're military attorneys in a military jurisdiction. And you don't know it. And no judge is going to tell you. Because if they do, they're going to violate their secret brotherhood pact that we can't tell these people that they're not well, any we the people anymore. They're a surety for an all-caps entity, for an ens legis, for a legal fiction. And that's how we treat them in court. That's how we treat them in the banks. You think you can get a bank account with an upper lowercase name? I don't think so. It's all uppercase, boy. Social Security number, date of birth. Social Security number, date of birth. You're the hybrid. You're attached to an artificial entity that's a hybrid. And you're an enemy belligerent. Living in your state, which is an occupied territory. Your state of Illinois or California or Pennsylvania is an occupied territory of the military government, emergency war powers military government in District of Catholics, District of Communists, District of Columbia. How do you like being an enemy? How do you like having no status? How do you like the fact that you can't really own property? How do you like the fact that if you don't pay your property tax, boy, we're going to take you off the property and we're going to kick you to the street? How do you like that, boy? Talk about niggers. White and black niggers. I use that term. It's appropriate sometimes and I use it. And it's appropriate now. They treat us like niggers, like slaves, like conquered enemy belligerents, outlaws. and you don't have any rights but what we tell you you can do, boy, unless you get your status changed back to becoming a pre-March 9th, 1933 private citizen. Then you will not consent. Because the reason why they treat you this way is you've consented. You've consented to a contract, that birth certificate with a seizure that's altered your status, made you joined to this all caps entity. And every judge presumes joinder when he sees you there, that you're joined to this all caps entity, unless you say something about it, unless you disclaim. And so, hey, my son, of sinners entice thee, consent thou not, Proverbs 1:10. Now, I'm not going to be surety for a stranger. I'm not going to be in any volunteer servitude. Remember, this is not a violation of the 13th Amendment either. 13th Amendment outlaws involuntary servitude. So that we'll get all the people to volunteer. Yeah. To be enemy belligerents. That's why just Judge Bork, that was railroaded out from being a Supreme Court justice by that Arlen Sphincter, and that's what he is, was, that Jewish Freemason B'nai B'rith and Teddy Kennedy, that Roman Catholic, they ran him out of any kind of confirmation because Judge Bork said, everybody in prison, you listen up, black men, everybody in prison is there voluntarily. How do you like that? You're there voluntarily because you volunteered to be surety for the all caps in rem thing that they prosecuted. And when you showed up, it was deemed that you're now in person there in personam. They got personal jurisdiction. Now it's off to the prisons. And you volunteered to be surety because they can't prosecute you, the man. There's no federal district court that can proceed against a man unless he's surety for this all caps entity. Every federal district judge knows this. And they hate you. They have nothing but contempt for you. They laugh at you. Look at that fool. He has no idea. We're flying military colors in the courtroom. He's too stupid to know that gold fringe on the flag is a military color. Army Regulation 840-10C. Check it out. They laugh at us. Well, now they're really laughing because they killed a whole bunch of white people down there in Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida. No matter how many blacks they got to kill, no matter how many alien invaders they got to kill, they're going after us. We're the target. White men. And so therefore, what's the solution? Oh, we got to get out and vote for Donald Trump. Yeah, he'll save the day. The great white hope. Are you crazy? Hey, are we that deluded? You look at his past. Look at his history. He's a gangster. He fakes his assassination in Butler, Pennsylvania. His ear was never nipped by a bullet. You'll watch the video. He puts his hand up there, rubs it, and there's no blood on his hand. That Secret Service agent put blood on his ear and then braid him up, and then they can take the picture, fight, 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 like he's some sort of fearless leader. Give me a break! He's a coward. Just like Biden. They're all deathly afraid of the power of the Archbishop of New York and the Jesuit order. They're deathly afraid. That's why they will never say anything about it. That's why Woodrow Wilson said, there is a power here that no one speaks above a whisper of their voice. That's right, way back then, 100 years ago. Because they killed Lincoln and got away with it. And nobody goes to jail. Bernardine F. Wiggett, the Jesuit, oversaw the Lincoln assassination with some others. You get the book, they wanted Lincoln dead. They Wanted Lincoln Dead by Cowan. It's the finest thing I've ever read on the Lincoln assassination. And they have the same power right now. And if you are going to report on any of their shenanigans, you better be saved and you better be right with God. Because they're going to give you the Danny Casolaro treatment. They're going to give you the Gary Webb Dark Alliance treatment. They're going to kill you. They have enforcers out there to keep any sort of reporting like this down, boy. Fletcher Prouty said in his book, JFK and the Secret Team, he says they have assassins and they use them regularly. But Fletcher Prouty never dared talk about the Jesuits, even Francis Cardinal Spellman, who oversaw the whole Kennedy assassination. That Jesuit. It's time that you white men of the South acquitted yourselves as men and realize you're related to the greatest men of this country in the past, George Washington, who Ezra Stiles, that great preacher, said he is the American Joshua. And he was a Baptist, too. He was baptized by John Gaino in the Hudson River in 1783 with 100 witnesses. Yep. Or how about the great and godly Stonewall Jackson in his Valley campaign that was so successful that the Nazi leaders came over and studied it before they invaded Poland with the Blitzkrieg. Blitzkrieg is modeled after Jackson's great Valley campaign. How about Nathan Bedford Forrest, that great man? He took 31,000 prisoners during the war. He fought in Tennessee. And he didn't hate the blacks. He wasn't responsible for the Fort Pillow killing of those Union soldiers, many of them black. But the savage blacks in Virginia killed a bunch of whites, about 200 of them, about 3 weeks, 4 weeks later. But we're never told about that massacre of whites, are we now? And the man who testified about it was a black Methodist preacher. He said, "I can't believe what I saw," when he was there and saw it. Now, it's time. Enough is enough. They're bringing all these aliens in here. They all need to be rounded up and sent right back to their countries and send the bill to the countries that let them in here. And if you don't take them back, we're going to bring them back, and then we're going to invade your country. We're going to take your gold. We're going to take your silver. We're going to take your oil. We're going to take everything. You want to send these savages up here to kill us? We're going to go invade, and we're going to take your stuff. And if you don't like it, then you better take these people back right now. Haiti doesn't have anything to take. Send them back there anyway. They'll kill each other. Savage culture. Let the savages kill each other. Well, who made us the policemen of the world, huh? The Pope did. As far as I'm concerned, just let Israel deal with their enemies. The greatest thing keeping them from winning a war is the CIA and this military government here. Oh no, we can't have any peace in Israel, so we got to keep the agitation going, so we'll not let them win a war. They haven't won a war since they passed the missionizing law in 1977 that outlawed the preaching of the gospel in Israel on the streets. That was after Yom Kippur. And with the 77 missionizing law, they've lost everything, every other war. You see, you can't go against God and His word and expect to be blessed. Same way with Russia, same way with China. Men reap what they sow. Governments reap what they sow. Nations reap what they sow. I don't want to reap anymore of being the Pope's lackey, having this military government draft my sons and bring all of our children into some sort of war footing to send them overseas to die for the Pope. Because that's what's coming. Just think about that, white mothers. All your children that you raise, you nurse, you love them, they're going to get drafted and they're going to be sent either to the Middle East and die and they're not coming back, or they're going to be sent to the Far East and die and they're not coming back. And then when the best of manhood is destroyed in the military, then the savages, the Russians and the Chinese and the Muslims and who else is going to invade us, and we won't have any protectors. But I know who can protect us. How about all the sodomites, all the queers? Give the queers the guns. Let them protect us. And all the lesbians, let them protect us. All these feminazis, give them a uniform and a gun and put them right on the front lines when the Chinese invade. And they'll be the first to go and they'll be doing us a favor. God, deliver us from feminism and feminazism. It's ruined manhood. All these white feminist wenches have done more to destroy the American manhood in this country than anybody else, than the blacks, than the government, whatever. These feminazis done a great job. We're going to divorce you. We're going to take everything, half of what you own. We're going to take your children, and we're going to take your children, teach your children to hate you. That's the American way now. Well, I don't think it's worth saving. I think what we need to do, white men, is we need to trust God. We need to truly repent of any sins that are besetting to us. Have a godly sorrow that worketh salvation. The Lord will then forgive us as we confess our sins. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we need to advocate racial separation unto nationhood. And first of all, that our county would declare its independence from District of Columbia run by the Pope. We have our own new nation because Mecklenburg County did that back in 1774. It's North Carolina. Declare your independence, white men of the South. Don't secede. There's nothing in secession. You can't secede. You're conquered territories. You're enemy belligerents. You've got to declare your independence. And then the Lord will bless the sword of just defense, coupled with the fact that you're going to believe the gospel, that you're saved, that you believe Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. The Lord will bless a repentant people that receives His Son to the salvation of their souls. And as we cry out to Him, He will send a deliverer. But if we do not repent, if we do not seek the Lord, if we continue to live in our sins and enjoy our sins and what have you, He's not going to sent a deliverance. And we're going to be consumed by the papacy and its armies and of assassins and murderers, no matter who they might be. Is that what we want? So, in conclusion, the whole Hurricane Helene was orchestrated by the Jesuit order and their agents, as they've been orchestrating Katrina and all these other things. So therefore, you have to declare your independence, have your own nation, and then you have to issue a warning. Anybody that tries to control the weather, the clouds over our nation, is an act of war, and we will go to war against you for it. Yeah. It's time that we started fighting righteous wars for the resistance of papal tyranny and evil. It's time. But you got to declare your independence first. You got to bear the sword of just defense first. You got to put away your sins first. Have your sins confessed and forgiven and the blood of Christ washed them away so that we might have God's blessing in our resistance, our righteous resistance to tyranny and political wickedness. Why do you think they flood the country with pornography? They want every man addicted to pornography so he has no power to resist the political tyranny. That's why they put it upon us. That's why they use their mafia to do it. That's why they use their secret societies to promote it. Get all the men defiled so they have no power to resist evil. That's why they've done it. We need to think. It's all conspiracy. There's nothing about it that's a theory. It's all fact, easily validated in 1,000 books. Well, in conclusion, I trust that I have outlined the problem that is a historical problem based on the doctrines of the Jesuits and their Counter-Reformation Council of Trent and their Jesuit oath, as I've covered in my book, Vatican Assassins. They continue to do it, and now they're really attacking the historic white Protestants of the South. If it's not Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, because most of those are Southerners, we're going to get all the white Protestants of the South and the Baptists, and we're going to have a horrible, terrible spill in the Gulf of Mexico, so people get radioactive, and the people have to move off the coast there, so it prepares the way for the invaders. I mean, it goes on and on and on. When are we going to say enough? When will we white men acquit ourselves as men? It's one thing to be deemed children and enemies and outlaws and belligerents. It's another thing to act like it. So in closing, it's my prayer that we would seek the Lord, confess our sins before Him, seek to do that which is right, no matter what we have to suffer. Because it's not only given to us to believe on Christ, it's given to us, but also to suffer for His name's sake. Brother Eric John Phelps, 24/7 World Radio Podcast. This is my message for today, for Sunday, October the 20th, 2024. I won't make any advertisements for money. My concern is that you would heed the message today. So until the next time we meet, Brother Eric John Phelps, Maranatha.